I can't necessarily read her writing though, but I can.
But I have super chicken scratch.
You're like the. You're like the. Like you'll guide us along the way. So.
And on that note, welcome everybody to episode one of Dark Sunsets. JR and JR, what's good, JR?
You know, just living the dream, enjoying another day. You know, we're recording this on a Friday, and the sunset has gone down, and it is dark, but. You know, the darker the sunset, the brighter the day. You know
there it is. And that is the official jump off right there. Episode one. So Dark Sunsets, we were laughing before we kicked off the podcast, how that really came about. So dark, of course, we both have dark sense of humors. And I'm not dark, but you are.
Indeed. You know, not as dark as some, but, you know, it's more of like a smooth caramel. But nonetheless, you know, for sunset purposes, it's a dark.
There you go. And the sunsets, of course, you know, we're here in Florida, so you're not getting a better sunset. So it came about perfectly. And shout out to James G for this incredible artwork. I mean, the 400 audience members that are listening to this podcast right now in this room, which is wild. I didn't think you could fit 400 people in your dining room, 400 heads.
It's almost like stadium seating, except there's no stadium. So we got people sitting on people's laps. I don't know. Just don't grab anything you're not supposed to be grabbing over there.
That's it. This isn't a garage sale. You can't just walk out with what you want when you come in. This isn't an auction sale. But before we kicked it off, we had to make sure that your cat was going off, dude. Your cat was literally jumping in the trash bin, eating wings and things.
Yeah, pets aren't supposed to eat chicken wings. Chicken wings splinter. But, you know, this cat found me way back in the day in Tallahassee. So I think he's about 10 or 11. Maybe even 12 years old.
He's an old guy. I mean, we got to paint the picture for definitely the listeners. He does literally have like a Hitler mustache.
It's more of a side Hitler. He's a little self-conscious about it. So I think that's what partially makes him somewhat of a dick, because when people call him Hitler, then he wants to tighten people up. He used to practice boxing with his paws on, you know, fake artificial plants. So he'll give somebody a quick left. Quick right, two-piece, three-piece with a biscuit, you know.
I think Hitler was renowned for his boxing as well, so it all full circles there.
But, yeah, so pets aren't supposed to have chicken wings, and this guy consistently will, any type of trash can you have, if a fold-down lid, pop-open lid, swing-through lid, he will find
a trash compactor.
I mean, he's gotten – one time I actually left the house. I came back. This was when I lived in Safety Harbor, and – there, it looked like he had a block party. There was about two dozen wing bones scattered across the whole. It was a 2-1 in Safety Harbor, scattered everywhere. Bone split, marrow half eaten out. Just, I thought he invited the other cats in.
I was just about to say, if he's by himself, that's even more impressive. Now I just visualize like when I go ahead and throw out any chicken wings, whether it's leftover from like Wing House or something, that he's just going to be cruising up, and he's instead of the guy who's on the back of the BFE or the BFI trash bin, it's just him. It's just the cat.
He's chilling.
Yeah, he's
chilling.
Like, what's up? Are there any wings in there? And he doesn't pick up my trash if there's no wings in there.
No, it's crazy. I don't know. And the thing is, he's done this thing with the chicken wings so many times where I used to be so concerned about his health, but, you know, now for him, it's just a pastime. Like, it's just a passage of rites. You know, he just does it. I don't know.
So now that we talked about what we wanted to talk about, obviously, take care, everybody. I appreciate you listening in. But no, that was literally the last 25, 30 minutes. He pulled out a Nerf gun. No cats or no animals were harmed in the pre-making to Dark Sunsets episode one.
No shots were fired. But I will say, if ever you're looking for a good time, those new Nerf rival guns. It's top shelf. You know,
seriously, it sounded like a fucking vacuum when you pumped it. Unless there was a vacuum going on in the other room, it sounded like you were like,
yeah,
like
no,
I don't even want a Dyson vacuum anymore. I just want a Nerf gun.
Those Nerf rival guns are crazy. But apparently, there's a new one that even has a rechargeable lithium-ion battery pack. It might be like a C note. I don't know, but
yeah. That does not sound cheap.
With great power comes great responsibility. So if you're ever trying to just get your Nerf on, you know.
That has to be expensive. The fact that you use the word lithium, anything with lithium is expensive. That's like saying the word bistro. Like, that's going to set you back at least $100, $200.
You hear bistro or lithium, it's over.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my credit card is going to definitely be declined here in this type of meeting. But yeah, absolutely. So the podcast really came about. We were laughing. Thinking about really creating something that we could just riff and have some friends involved and just talk about some current events, some lifestyle stuff. And we have some really fun things to talk about. So one in particular that we wanted to kick it off was obviously current events. And I think we have like a bunch of current events that we're about to pop off. One being about this Firefest. What are your thoughts? It's murder.
So this whole Firefest, or lack thereof, I mean, just, and I don't know if you guys know or not, but there is a, there's a Netflix, and I think also Hulu. And
Hulu tried to pirate Netflix, which I don't know if you saw that. Yeah.
Okay, so literally, Netflix and Hulu have some sort of competing simulcasting.
I'm waiting for Amazon to drop something too.
There's going to be just 3P. All sorts of, Sling TV is going to have their own one soon, probably. I don't know, but. I watched the one on Netflix, and it's basically about, there was an app called Fyre, F-Y-R-E, and it was about just kind of, you know, you can book talent, and you use that with quotations because it depends on who you're booking, but you can book talent for, you know, parties, things of that nature. And Ja Rule and the mastermind behind it all, Billy, I want to say, was it McDonough?
That was, I think so. Yeah, like McIntyre, McDonough, something super.
We'll call it Billy MC.
Billy MC.
We'll call him Billy MC, you know. But, you know, so, you know, Billy and Ja Rule were excited about this whole thing. And, you know, the app was what kind of got everything going. But then in order for them to promote this app, they decided to come up with this, like a festival, like a music festival, almost like in a Woodstock-esque type of feel.
Right.
Like, you know, they go into the Bahamas and they have this crazy, when they started it all off, it was like they invited all the hot influencers on Instagram.
And they
used
them, right? They used them to like try to facilitate the people to buy tables and cabanas, right. Quote unquote cabanas, as we learned about. Yeah,
so they're filming basically, you know, Billy MC and Ja, which... we'll get to the Ja Rule down the line in a little bit, but you know, they're basically filming themselves on this island, in this Bahamian island that they supposedly got, you know, they got gifted to them and whatnot, and they're just basically running around partying, and they have just a camera crew filming the whole thing, like filming the experience, and you know, looks like a good time, and so they're trying to sell that same experience to people, and make it like a music festival where they're gonna have top talent with these great cabanas and villas and this and that and that and this and this and that,
which is insane to think about. Like if you think about what they did as far as creating that concept, and of course if you get someone like Ja Rule's name behind it, I'm not wondering what Ja Rule's doing ever. And that's what I mean, like if you were to say, hey, Ja Rule is calling you to tell you something, I'd be like, put him on hold. I don't need to know what he's about to tell me right now,
in a semi-polite way, just toss him a voicemail.
But the fact that they created this, and as you were mentioning, they used all these influencers and all these like Instagram thoughts that have like 5 million plus followers to create this concept. And did you notice that in the festival itself, some of the people that interviewed, like it sounded like some of those dudes were from like Kentucky or like Tennessee. Did you notice that? Some of the guys who were like, yeah, I was expecting a great time. It's like, well, yeah, you deserve to be fucking completely frowned upon because that's who you are as a person. You thought this was real.
So the way it progressed, they kind of filmed this, if you will, Ja Rule, Billy MC, and these, you know, Instagram influencer / thought, you know, models. And they run around the island. And they're having a great time.
This is the promo video, right? Which I thought was such a fantastic piece of marketing.
So they have...
You're allergic to bullshit? Or,
it's like the BS is like flaring up right now. I'm trying to just like hold it back. But yeah, so they're going through and they're just filming all of them running around partying. And so they're using that as the criteria for the experience that you're going to have at this festival. So when it actually comes down time to promote it, they have all these Instagram influencers just kind of post a orange tile on their Instagrams, and each of them just posted.
I thought it was a
tile.
New Frank Ocean album. I don't know if you saw that because it was. I'm like, Orange 2 is coming.
we miss Frank Ocean. He needs to come up with some more stuff. But yeah, so all of them posted these orange tiles, and you're sitting there and you're like, all right, well, what's going on? So these orange tiles pop up and everybody sees this, and they put hashtag, like, you know, Fyre Festival, whatever the hashtag may be that they wanted to promote. This festival ends up selling out within 48 hours, which is unheard of in regards to music festivals. at that point, all these people already purchased, thinking they're going to get villas, whatnot.
Villas.
All the people that were influencers were supposed to get free housing.
That's right.
So you have people paying for villas.
I think they're playing like paying up to like $5,000-$10,000, weren't they? If not north of that.
At least, yeah. I mean, and so, I think some of the packages were getting up to the 50s, 60s.
Well, you think, not to interrupt, but like you think about, let's say if it's a guy who's a partner in a, he's a lawyer and he's making $400,000 or $500,000 a year, and he sees a promo video with Emily Ratajkowski and Kendall Jenner, he's like, I'll pay $10,000-$20,000 today.
Nice to meet you.
Right.
You know,
like,
let's,
yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks, you know.
Like, but they're anticipating these type of houses and continue. Yeah, they were pleasantly surprised.
So, yeah. So then, you know, long story short, when it gets to the progress of this, you know, whole project, you know, the island not quite working out. And I guess it was Pablo Escobar's island that they were going to initially do this on.
Yeah.
And the guy that's trying to rebrand this island that he owns – does not want Pablo Escobar's name mentioned at all.
Associated completely.
So once,
and that was a deal breaker.
That was the deal breaker. Once all of a sudden, like, they go out and he hears, oh, Pablo Escobar, da-da-da, kicks him off the island.
Yeah.
They have to find a new island. So,
but also, you, if you look, and once you guys watch this documentary, this Billy kid, he was the type of kid growing up where they were, like, telling him as a kid, don't press the red button. He's just like, pop, 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 pop. Like, he's a privileged white rich young kid who was probably given, I didn't think they go into detail on him, but he literally was sucking from the teat of a trust fund based on the way he looks. Absolutely.
He's the guy that rocks the deep V
to the belly,
the black deep V T in the pool while everybody else, you know, is just wearing just bathing suits and whatnot.
He puts the fun in trust fund.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart. So, yeah, so then, you know, they get kicked off the Pablo Escobar Island, and they try to make, you know, their way to a couple different islands, whatever, finally land on one island. And
which, that was a selling point. Like, if I'm looking at it, and it's the rigid, like, the edgy factor, if someone's saying, like, oh, this was owned by Pablo Escobar, I'm like, oh, this is inclining me to go even more. You know what I mean? But now it's just like,
go even more, or at least where's the hidden stash? Yeah. Let me find out what Pablo's
now
all about.
Now it's like, you know where Senor Frogs is? It's like a stone skip throw away. Like, this is the new island that's happening right now.
So everybody's excited, you know, whatnot. But they get to a new island, get it all set up, and the timelines are just crazy. Normally when you have a festival or a music event this big, you have planning, production, spaced out over months, if not years.
Of course. I mean, you think of like Coachella, you think of all these festivals. Not only do you have to give the artists time to prepare and be prepared for the festival, but as you mentioned, like the creation of these housings that were so hilarious when it got to that point.
So, you know, I think they're trying to do these, what you would do in 7 to 10 months, in 15 to 20 months. They're trying to do this in a 6 to 8 week span.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is the amount of people that they had booked, let's say they booked 6,000 people, the island can fit about 1,000 people.
Barely.
The luxury tents that they provide.
Though they promoted.
Are promoted, I should say. What they actually provide are leftover hurricane tents.
And their it's literally being domes. Like, oh, I just spent $5,000 on a Mercedes. And you show up and you're like, whose Saturn is this?
It just looking at the hurricane tents, and what was even crazier is that there was no sewage, there was no AC, there was
none,
no nothing.
It.
So, you know, maybe they should have said that it was like third world luxury.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, I don't know how people paying thousands and thousands of dollars were gonna actually accept this. So, push comes to shove, you know, Billy MC is pushing through, Ja Rule. He's screaming.
What is he doing the whole time, Ja Rule, you think?
And so with Ja Rule, just another little side piece for him. Every time you see him in this documentary, he's cursing, he's screaming.
He just has a Corona. I think he was actually had a short-term sponsorship by Corona, because every time he just has a full Corona, he's just like cheersing the camera. But he's never doing anything progressive from a business standpoint. He's just Ja.
And I thought that 50 and G-Unit had kind of taking him to task and kind of put this whole persona kind of to rest. Like he should take it easier in his older age. Like he's just a little too up. Like he just maybe, you know, get some chamomile tea. Mm-hmm. Just take a long walk down a beach. Something, just calm down. Because he
was definitely trying to reinvent himself from.
And at one point he's yelling at some of the models. He's like, hey, yeah, get in the fucking water. And I'm like, Ja, just take it easy. Like, you know.
I mean, but honestly, if you look at him as an individual, would you think of anything else from a person who created a song called Holla, Holla? No, you wouldn't.
If he was more of Jeffrey Atkins in this instance.
This is his real name?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's the Ja and Ja Rule.
Yeah, yeah.
Did not know that.
There's a 50 Cent track way back in
it's a diss about, like, on him.
Jeffrey Atkins. I will kung fu your ass. What's up? Yeah, it's a whole crazy thing. But, yeah, he just, throughout the whole process, hopefully he was just providing funds, but at the same time, he wasn't providing any type of insight.
Right.
He was one of those guys that was just like, this is what we're going to do. We're just pushing to it. They're telling him, hey, we got logistics going on. He doesn't care. We got a lot of effing smart minds in the room. We're going to get this done.
He would be the worst CEO to be a part of. Like, he would just literally come into every meeting and be like, what's popping? What's good? How you doing? And you like try to say certain things that are educational or informative. And he would just have his own vision in his own lane.
Now, I'd be cool with it if he came to every meeting and just like passed out some Popeyes with some Cajun sparkle. But I doubt.
Yeah, the opening 5 to 10 minutes. But then after that, he's just like sitting there.
If he's throwing me like a 2-piece with a biscuit with some Cajun sparkle, I'm on board. But if that's not the case, then nah, we're not.
Do you want to let them know that our first sponsorship on this podcast is Popeyes or not until the end when we do our sponsorship plugs?
We should probably wait until the end just because I'm too excited about the whole Cajun sparkle experience.
It's true. And Zaxby's might be fighting for the space, so we definitely want to keep it appropriately open.
And it's not that I have anything against Church's chicken, you know, anything like that, but the flavor profile with Popeyes, especially with the Cajun sparkle, wow, it's just delicioso.
But what's wild is, as we're talking about like this whole Fyre Festival as well, and when you're saying push, came to shove, it got to the point, and this was the most exciting point, obviously it was probably like 3/4 away in the documentary, where they started just recording the people arriving.
Yes,
and they didn't know where to go.
Yes.
And when they knew where to go and they started getting, you know, drunk as soon as they landed, then you could tell on the look of people's faces and the questions that were happening, they didn't know what was next, right?
They when the people landed, they started just funneling them to, I guess, the main restaurant that was on the island.
Like essentially like a smaller, shittier version of like a Senor Frog's, right? That's what it looked like.
Yeah. And they just funneled all the people to this restaurant. And played music loudly. So everybody at first was like, okay, it's cool. People are walking around just pouring shots of tequila, pouring shots of alcohol, and they're just getting drunk.
Which they look like the worst type of people. Like the type of people you would look at and be like, I would never hang out with that person. Because just by looking at who they are, how many tank tops were in one shot at one point, I'm like, this is all I need to hear and see.
It was the first responders for a festival. Like it looked like the first responders for any type of festival. Like
or respondables. I mean, that could be a whole new play.
Hey. So, yeah, so they're pouring just alcohol down these people's throats and kind of starting to, you know, it's getting late. Sunset's starting to get a little dark. They want to get to, you know, to the luxury villas, the luxury tents. They want to find out what's happening.
Quote, unquote, yeah.
So then they're asking, you know, what's going on. They get there, and you actually hear one of the girls on the bus say out loud, she says,
wheels on the bus go around and around.
She says, turn this bus around. Turn it around. No, no, no.
And if you were to explain, like, who she was without seeing her, because I don't think they identified who she was or what she looked like, Jewish, if we had to say, maybe, or a girl that definitely comes from financially a well-off type family.
She
definitely has a bed at home. Let's put it that way.
She has a bed, maybe, you know, a couple stock options. You know, she knows a way around Wall Street, to say the least.
And by the way, as we're taking a little pause before we kick this podcast off, we're talking about what we're drinking during this. And you are drinking what is known as a knockout punch, which Kobe Bryant is actually partaking in. Is that correct?
Well, it's Body Armor brand. It's the Knockout Punch brand. Basically, any of the body armors that have the UFC stamp are official. Some of the other flavors aren't quite as good, but...
So if you flip this table, like, within 6 minutes of us still recording, I'll know, like, this is definitely working.
It's the body armor, just, you know, fortifying, you know, I do a lot of tricep and bicep work, so, you know, it's just the body armor just hitting those spots, just also...
Straight up. So, overall, Firefest is fucking insane. If you get a chance, watch it. It's ridiculous, and Ja Rule is just... I don't know how he obviously tied. I don't even know how he met this Billy kid or this character to begin with. I'm sure it was at some type of Tao or Lavo type establishment, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and so Billy's whole thing was he tried to provide status, and he wanted to like live the status life. And you know, Ja, I guess after the whole you know G Unit running and 50 Cent running and Eminem running. You know, you haven't heard much from him. He's not producing. No. At least he's not making music. Maybe he's, you know, hopefully producing small indie films or something, just, you know, keeping the funds right. But, you know, this documentary kind of points out this whole festival and the level of unpreparedness, the level of fraud, and just the level of ineptness. I haven't seen anything since maybe, like, the Bernie Madoff.
It's definitely up there, when. Like for our generation, right? Like
this might be the one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And we were talking about it before as well, which this was the purest comedy in the documentary was at the end, where all of the people who are part of the company, and then I'm assuming Ja Rule is on Skype, which impressed Ja Rule knows how to use Skype.
Murder.
Yeah, literally, he just is like has his team press play on his fucking iMac.
Holla.
He's like, it's murder. But they literally, one of the girls who's like the engineer, who was obviously like the brains behind the operations, basically goes, you know, this is fraud. This is essentially fraud. We're not continuing. We're stopping all procedures of the business whatsoever. And Ja just jumps in and goes, this ain't fraud. This ain't fraud. And it just shows everyone's reaction around the table.
And
what does he say? He goes
so
like,
I watch it with closed caption. So when he's like,
did you?
It's like, he's like, nah, it's not fraud.
It says like Joss
Meeks.
It's
not fraud. And then it's like, he says like, it's a dot, 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 dot. It's like, it's more of a, it's false advertisement. And just the fact that the way he said like, it's a, and then, you know, the false advertisement, it's like, that's basically fraud one way. I mean, you can call it whatever you need to, but if you mislead people, yeah, spin it however you need to spin it. But his, like, he didn't give a shit. I mean,
no.
And then apparently at the very end of it, he still, apparently he has an app now that is basically what the Fire app was for promoting talent and hiring talent for parties and whatnot. And he just changed the name to like Icon or something like that. I'm not saying download it, but. If you do,
yeah, this is not a plug.
We do have a great promo code. No, I'm playing.
No, that's Blue Chew. That's Blue Chew. That's totally different. But that's what's wild as well. It's like, I think Ja Rule like wakes up and just reads from a cue card every day. Like he just has people who are just funneling what words he should be saying. Like that false advertising bit. Like he was on Skype and he looked up because he didn't realize what he needed to say. And someone from like an SNL cast member just like pulled out a cue card and was like, false advertising. He's like, yeah, yeah, it's that. It's that. Absolutely.
The way he paused, just make sure you get a chance. Just, I think it's about an hour, 36 minutes.
It's a great documentary.
And I mean, I actually watched it late night. Like I was like, oh, I don't really want to go to sleep. Let me just check this out, see what's going on. It just, the level of fraud is... Like it's based like Thanos in Avengers Infinity War. Like this is some like next level. Like this Billy the Kid. He's the modern day Billy the Kid, basically.
Seriously.
Like it just give it a check, you know.
So fucking wild. And yeah, that summarizes that Firefest, which yeah, Netflix literally was producing a documentary and then Hulu was like just kidding 2 days later, which is insane, like how competitive it's getting, but eventually, it's just going to get to that point. Like, cable's going to be just completely demised, and people are just going to be only looking at for content on, in my opinion, right? So, like, obviously, your Netflix is your Hulu's, your Amazon Prime, and it's just going to be that. Amazon's fucking taking over the world, bro.
Well, you think about it, and it's like, way back in the day, you know, HBO was the one.
That was the plug. Yeah.
And then it was like Showtime.
For movies or for specials, all of it.
And
yeah.
Then it was like Cinemax, or some of the kids would be like Skinemax, you know, depending on.
Mainly Cinemax for porn. Yeah.
But.
Which I didn't know they actually tuck their dicks behind, like Buffalo Bill style. There was no penetration in those, which I was impressed but also disappointed, because I definitely have had a lot of sessions for some type of fulfillment, what was happening.
Well,
but that's true false advertising, you know, in Ja Rule's terms.
Andre 3K said in Bombs Over Baghdad, he said, don't pull your thing out unless you plan to bang.
And
Bombs
Over
Baghdad.
Do you think that was him getting back at Cinemax by saying that?
It could have been an indirect shot. You know, who knows? But the most important point is
Emmanuel in space.
Don't pull the thing out unless you plan to bang. But if you,
cue Bombs Over Baghdad.
That would be the plug for that. But now it's like you got Netflix that has their own studios. You got, you know, Amazon that has their own studios. You got Hulu who has their own studios.
Yeah, and they're spending billions.
And it's like this now, all these platforms are making their own movies, not alone just shows, but also movies that are comparable, if not better than a lot of stuff that's coming out now. So, you know, I cut the cable maybe about 3 months or months. Yeah, I wish. About 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
I cut the cable. And, you know, there was like a workaround where for a while.
Was your son born or your daughter was born? You cut the cable or what? Like,
fortunately, I don't have any offspring. I'm a good uncle and I can return my nephews and nieces when the time is right. If they get act up, whatever. Like, see ya. But, you know, it's like. All these places now have their own studios with these high-resolution cameras, great, you know, writers, all this other stuff. And it's going to take a lot for cable to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't – technically, I have Sling TV. When I cut the cable 3 years ago, I have Sling TV and never look back. The only reason why I even really use Sling as much is because NFL Red Zone, because on Sundays – you know what goes down.
Of course.
You got to get your...
And here come the Jets.
Big Jets fan, by the way. Jets coming out in 2 years. It might not happen, but...
Lev Bell to the Jets.
It's going
to
be like Pittsburgh Jets style. You're gonna get
Lev Bell and AB.
Trade the third top pick for AB and then just sign Lev Bell with $100 million salary cap space. It's over.
But it's wild, though, as far as like those channels of what we're talking about, right? Like... You were mentioning it there. I wonder if Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu will have – we're thinking about, like, an adult section. I don't think they will, but think of, like, the parental advisories that you'll – or the parental controls that parents put on their cable today where kids can't facilitate certain things. I wonder if Netflix or Amazon will start to enter, like, the porn industry potentially.
Netflix could, just because of the name.
It's a different kind of flick. It's got to be Netflix, obviously.
Or it could just be like Netflix, flix, you know, depending on what's going on.
But it's like Netflix and there's three X's.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know.
Trademark.
But, yeah, so, you know, thinking about the whole, when you cut the cable, most of the time you're getting, let's say, 70 channels. Maybe 80 channels. When you have these Slings and the Hulus and whatnot, you get most of those channels anyway without it. Now, the biggest thing you can do is you can get like a high-definition antenna. I got a high-def antenna.
They're great, yeah.
I get like, you know, maybe 45 channels.
Yeah.
You get Laugh, L-A-F-F, and it's just straight comedy. You get that 70, it's all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yep.
But if you get all your basic channels plus the other ones, you're good. The biggest thing that cable at least caught up on was cable had, you know, if you had a live Wi-Fi line, like a live cable internet feed, you could technically run a splitter off of it, plug that splitter into your TV, and you would get basic cable anyway, while you also had the other line going into your modem. So you get Wi-Fi and basic cable for free. Cable companies caught up. And then
I thought you were plugging Verizon or Sprint for a second here. I thought you're like, are you getting paid low key here?
Here's that low key plug now. But then, you know, once they caught on to it, it took about maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, they started to encrypt their cable feeds. So now you can't actually just run that splitter.
Yeah.
And they actually started charging like, I think $10 per box per TV to be able to just run basic cable. At that point, it's like, no. So what actually happened with me was, you know, Wow Cable had actually hit me up a couple times. This is not a plug or an endorsement for any cable company, by the way. But WoW hit me up a couple times. We had 100 megabit internet with Spectrum. It was terrible. Stuff a buffer, except for the Xbox, which was hardlined into the modem.
Right.
WoW had 500 megabits with whole house internet for about $15 cheaper than Spectrum. So I call Spectrum. Hey, Spectrum, how's it going? Hey, how are you, sir? Yeah, I'm looking to cancel, you know, the internet. You know, price isn't working out well. You know, it's just not good for us. Traditionally, what they would do is send you to a retention team to try to keep you on.
Of course, yeah.
Not today.
They just shut it.
They didn't just immediately, oh, okay, well, when do you want to cancel?
Yeah.
Boom. Fortunately, I had already called, you know, WoW, taking care of it, asked them, like, hey, you know, here's the prices. What's going on with this? What's going on with that? How fast can you be out? WoW comes out. They're actually here 5 minutes before their scheduled appointment.
They actually just come out of your bathroom. They're like, we heard you were on the phone, and we're ready to change it up for you immediately.
Takes the hand towel out of the bathroom, tosses it. But yeah, 5 minutes before the appointment comes out, sets it all up. No issues ever.
Yeah.
WoW's been great, whatever. But all of a sudden now, it's been, I don't know, 6-7 months since we've had WoW. Spectrum has been coming door to door. Oh, we missed you. How did this happen?
Oh,
how did
course. That happen? Da, 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 da. Yeah, because someone on the gig, which is like, yeah, we'll cancel that immediately for you.
So it's, you know, big cable is not needed anymore. The only thing that you need is high-speed cable internet. You need your 300, 400, 500 megabits, and then you need just a platform where you can watch your shows.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's going to ultimately get to the point where it's just going to be like your Netflix, your Hulu, your Amazon. And then that's just obviously for only cable purposes. You think of like what else we're doing in our lives as well. Like you don't even have to leave your fucking house anymore. Like you could just literally, like the other day I used, what was it, Instacart. Someone literally fucking shopped for me and went through what I've added to my cart and then delivered the groceries to me. It was the biggest piece of shit I've ever felt in my whole life when someone's delivering my groceries and then she's a single mom.
Well,
I wouldn't say self-explanatory, but in this type of scenario.
And you want a mom shopping for you at least.
I mean, yeah. I love the fact that that was happening. But then, you know, her daughter's in the back and I'm like saying hi. And I'm literally saying hi like I'm such a piece of shit. But I'm facilitating this. And of course, it's like a new way of, I wouldn't say paying someone, but a new way of living, a new way of a wage, right? Because we're just becoming pieces of shit as a society. Collectively.
Well, you got to think about it, though. Everything is now – there's going to be a disruptor for everything.
There's so many
so,
already.
Like, when you had Uber.
Yeah.
Uber disrupted the whole taxi cab system.
For sure.
And all – the company, behind, like Uber itself, they're genius because they didn't provide any vehicles.
There's no overhead.
They were just the middleman.
That's it.
You know, so it's like everything now is like – we're in a disruptor society. So, you know, you have your shopping going on. There's Instacart. Now there's also Uber Eats.
That's right.
Yeah. Grubhub. You know, there's all these
which
different
types. I don't want to tell you what I've spent year to date in 2018 on both of those things, but yeah, absolutely. Continue.
Well, it was natural survival. So you at least had enough where it kept you here. You're talking. You seem healthy. You got a smile on. So, you know, we can't complain.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't McDonald's every morning. But I think the worst thing I've ever done on Uber Eats, and this is the most trash I've ever felt, was literally get McDonald's breakfast Uber Eats to a friend's house at
in quotes at
11 a.m. and then obviously not be by my phone and that person being outside for 20 minutes and waiting to deliver 5 hash browns. I have to go downstairs and be like, I'm so sorry I wasn't by my phone. Thanks for my delivery cold hash browns.
Well, you know,
I don't think there's anything whiter that you can do, right? Like that's the pinnacle, except for be Billy MC.
You know, if you would have got like a couple egg white, you know, delight breakfast sandwiches or something like that, yeah, and then had them chilling outside for about 30, 45, that might have been the, because an egg white delight, like, nah, man.
No.
Like, we can't do that.
No.
But, you know, I mean, technically, out of all the different platforms, you got the Instacart, the Grubhub.
But do you participate with those? With the Uber Eats? I'm sure you do, obviously.
So I've done Uber Eats, and I like Uber Eats specifically. Like, there's a couple restaurants where they're fire. I don't necessarily want to leave the house at a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
Or are there restaurants you don't want to be seen in? That's why you're Ubering Eats.
I mean, sometimes it's just a lot.
Yeah.
Like, right then, you right. know, to really be in a place, you know. So yeah, so Uber Eats is good for that. But I will say Instacart, I feel like that's probably the most integral disruptor out of all of them because,
yeah,
you know, since Publix is the one that actually vetted them and Publix is the one that put them on to actually being their deliverers of their groceries, I trust Publix more than any other gas station.
Than
gas station.
I wouldn't be surprised though if Publix start to expand like a Walmart scenario.
It just, hey, we just do gas too, that premium. But no, but then any other grocery store, you know, I trust Publix more. Like the produce always fire, the
yep.
customer service always fire, and the quality always seems good. So it's like if I'm gonna have somebody shop for me, at least have them shop for me at the best place possible to
yeah.
get, you know, your stuff.
And so it's funny, like you're from New York. I lived in New York. Did you ever have scenarios where you had to explain to somebody what Publix is? And then them saying, there's no way because you and I both know what C-Town is.
Yes,
like,
yes,
that's
yes.
not a great grocery store, okay? If you think C-Town is a great grocery store in New York, go fuck yourself.
It's like sometimes it would just be like you hit the corner store, you hit the bodega, you know, whatever
right.
else.
Like, that's what it would be.
What you would need.
Like, you know, you'd walk inside and you'd go, oh, my milk or my milk and literally my cereal has dust on it because it's been there since 2016. Those are the risks that you're taking.
That's the modern day version of Frosted Flakes, you know what I'm saying? Like this, you just knock the dust off and then you're good to go, you know. But it's, I think today's day and age, some of the disruption is bad, but I will say out of all those different kind of disruptors for the food purposes, Instacart via Publix is really good. That's up there.
Yeah.
But then also, even though it's not a disruptor, it's part of a brand, I am a huge fan of Domino's and Domino's delivery.
I think you've actually tried to sell me hard on Domino's recently.
Just the app itself is real smooth. You don't have to talk to anybody.
Is this the one where it's like the tracker as well?
It has the tracker. Apparently yeah. they added like a...
See, that's impressive.
An alert, like if you wanted to let your boy know, hey, pizza's going to be here in 20 minutes. Like, you can send them out of...
On the opposite of that, let's say someone is tracking that because everyone who uses the app is obviously tracking that. When they look to see, like, okay, we've gone from phase one to receive your order to phase two to your pizza's in the oven, and then it takes an hour. Do you think when someone is getting their pizza delivered, they look at that person and be like, I looked at the tracker, and this is how much of a piece of shit this argument this is. An hour ago, I saw that my pizza was in the oven, and now it's taken an hour. Like, these are real fucking arguments that are going to be happening now, which is somewhat sad, but comical at the same time. And I'd love to know, like, the technology in place to know what's updating these fucking apps. Like, when they put in the pizza, then that registers for you to know that your fucking pizza's in the oven.
And it'll say, you know, like, you know, Tammy just placed your pizza in the oven. And like, Tammy's prepping it with love.
But I also feel as if you should be like, either be able to give a like to Tammy, like if we're going to go down that path, or like tip Tammy, because she's probably not getting tipped in comparison to like the driver, right?
Well, I mean, see, I don't know how that whole, the infrastructure works with that. Maybe they, you know, if you get the food prep and you're getting that tracker action, you know, they might kick you a little bit more kickback. But the craziest thing was that when it'll be like, oh, actually, this legit happened. It was a brother named Cecil. And
Cecil?
Yeah. And he delivered several times, whatever. But it tells you, you know, Cecil's on the way with your food. You know, your food's out hot and ready. Cecil's on the way. And so the first time, you know, I'm looking at it and it says Cecil. I'm like, Cecil? Cecil? You know, think
like
about
Cecil.
It, whatever. And, you know, so old boy pops up at the crib. And I'm like, what up, Cece?
Yeah, when I think of Cecil, he has to be 73 years old.
And
he's born 73.
He's like a 35-year-old brother. But, you know, I open the door, what up, Cece? And he's like, he pauses. And the look on his face, he kind of has like a little bit of like a light terror. Like, it was just, he was a little concerned. Like, not quite get out level.
He
but
saw
like,
your cat with the Hitler mustache. And he's like, oh, gosh.
He didn't know exactly what was happening. But he's like, how'd you know my name was Cecil?
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, yeah, my bad. I called you Cease, but, you know, it was on the tracker anyway. But,
you hit him with his nickname, too.
And
Cease.
But that's what I think that's what caught him because,
yeah,
you know, it's like it was so familiar that he like he just thought he was chilling. But if you have the Domino's tracker, just don't greet him by their name when you open the door.
Maybe but how did he react? He like found like
he paused at first. Like it was almost a get out moment. But then like once I smoothed it over, whatever. Then you know he delivered. I think it was like two pies.
As long as you didn't take a photo, because then get out when you take a photo and the flash happens. That's when he starts. Cecil have a nosebleed and then he'll run in the house.
It's crazy. Just like don't eat the pizza. You know, don't do it.
So that's Domino's, and you've definitely promoted for the past six. I mean, we're gonna submit this to Domino's, and you should be able to get at least, you know, Super Bowl
pie.
I mean, for Super Bowl at least. If Cecil wants to come over, you're more than welcome. This is an invitation to you.
The wings are baked at Domino's too. So for you healthy people that don't like to eat fried wings, that at least provides that extra deliciousness for you.
So that's Domino's. The other one that we definitely want to talk about, which we're brainstorming about, is. Obviously, like you mentioned it, Uber and Lyft, and when I lived in Austin, those were banned for a little bit, so all these little micro apps came out. But with Uber and Lyft, I think like nowadays it's going to get to the point that getting a DUI is going to be essentially like retro, right? Like if you get a DUI, in my opinion, it's going to be like you're getting AIDS, meaning like that's so 80s or 90s. Like who gets DUIs anymore?
If you have the opportunity,
right? Like I don't want to bring up Cecil's name, but he probably doubles as Toon Domino's and Lyft and Uber. But you could literally be able to call somebody, not even call somebody, go on your phone, no matter how fucked up you are, and just literally sync to where you're located, and someone will pick you up.
Literally,
there's no excuse to get a DUI anymore.
And the thing that's crazy too, so this has always been one of my biggest pet peeves. It's professional athletes that get a DUI.
It's insane.
I don't know if you guys know, but all professional clubhouses always have driver services. And so they're really
outside of Lyft and Uber, right? Like
yeah, just their own personal team driver service. So yeah. They have their own, you know, person or persons that
the
will
guy at the airport who has like
the sign
it says
up.
Bell like, and it's like, oh, Le'Veon's rides here.
Yeah, just yeah. Brown. AB's ride, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, Mike Evans is rides here. Yeah, Plaxico Burris. Right. You know,
don't bring your gun.
So they actually have their own ride services where if the team, anybody in the team calls, they can get picked up by this service. The guy will come pick them up, take them to wherever.
Yeah.
I just don't understand conceptually. I would rather have the team's ride service than an Uber, just because if you look at like stuff that happened with Jameis and other people,
He was in an Uber, right?
Yeah, and I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm not here to say one way or the other. All I know is that something occurred, whether it be somebody said something.
You're
something
such a goddamn happened. Bucks fan. You're like, something occurred.
something occurred. So
pro Florida State and Bucks fan. You're like, something occurred.
Well, it's Knowles all day.
You're his fucking attorney.
Nonetheless, though, something occurred, and I guarantee nothing would have occurred if you'd have just taken the team shuttle service, the team drive service.
But on the other side of the spectrum, do you think he was getting an Uber because he was in a place where he shouldn't be? Meaning he didn't want to contact the team driver, if you will, because he was in some type of shady location or situation or a glory hole off US 19,
I
right?
I mean, Mons Venus shouldn't be that faux pas for Jameis to really traverse to, but what I will say is...
I mean, he hasn't made. I mean, you think about how close that is to Raymond James, right?
Touchdown. but I mean, even if he was going to a place that he shouldn't have been going, the one good thing is if you got cheese, if you got dough,
yeah,
you know, what I would do is I'd pay one of my homies to be just a designated driver.
That's it.
It's like, hey, just don't drink, you know. I got you for the night. You know, you're going to be good. Appreciate it. Whatever you need. That's so much easier.
It's so much easier.
And then you don't have to worry about like, oh, so-and-so did this. Or so, like something happened.
But you just did there? You rationalize things. And what you and I have is a brain. If you've seen any interview with Jameis Winston – I don't think he has that just yet, or he's had some type of traumatic shock that's happened to his life.
Well, what you got to understand is that if you're going to do it, you're going to do it big then. So that's how you have to just, you know, proceed with it.
Do you think as he got arrested, he's like, this is so unfortunate. My hands are behind my back. I can't lick every finger that I have in front of me right now. See, that's what really put me over the edge when I saw that happen. And I mean, granted, yeah, that means he's our quarterback for life. But Yeah, that's so. That's definitely
have
one.
Have you ever had the Sonny's all you can eat rib dinner?
That's different.
You will eat. You will lick every finger.
I'm also not giving a pep speech to a team of 40. I mean, I could be talking to the patrons who are at the salad bar and be like, guys.
Listen, if I'm gonna give a fiery speech, I'm getting a full slab of ribs. You know, dry
the,
rub
with the sweet tea, 60 ounce
sweet baby rays on the side, and I'm finna get in. And then we go like, you want to see a team hyped? It's gonna be with a full slab of ribs. You know what I'm saying?
So we talked about obviously, you know, the aspect of how cable is eliminating and all these channels as well. One thing that I've noticed is very prevalent, and I don't really go on social media. You partake in that, and I'm not knocking you, but I've retired that game for a while because it was just too much of a distraction and too much of nonsense. But what really had me laughing but also kind of was questioning for a long time were when girls in particular would not only post photos or let's say a video or some type of boomerang, and then they would apply these ridiculous – and it still happens today. I've seen it. They would apply these unbelievable filters that would allow them to – look a different way, or if not better, if you will, almost like an anime character. But in addition, they would be able to put like bear ears on them or puppy tongues.
Puppy ears with the tongue.
And here's what I don't understand that. Like, sure, you're going to do that. But if you're going to do that, commit to that. And what I mean by that is if you're going to send me a photo or a video of you with your tongue coming out of your mouth, when I go to the bar to meet you, you better look like that. If I go in the bar and be like,
out of the mouth.
I wonder where so-and-so is. Oh, no, she's right over there because she has she has a collar on. And she also has
tongue is out,
ears are coming up. But what do you feel about like that whole dynamic? And do you think that's obviously, in my opinion, a turn for the worse as a society because you won't know what anybody really looks like anymore. It's going to get to that point eventually, yeah?
Well, yeah, so there's a couple of points. The whole catfishing thing is just kind of ridiculous.
It's real.
The whole... Was it Manti Te'o?
That's right, yeah.
Where he had a catfish girlfriend that supposedly died. And
pure comedy.
Never met. I mean, you can't have a girlfriend if you've never met her.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't care how busy of a football player you are. If I'm sitting here making the league leading tackles and whatnot, I'm finna meet and I'm finna, you know, greet as
because
well.
Because you know he's literally out and he's like, sorry, I can't talk to you. I have a girlfriend at home. Like,
but we won't even go down that
we
path.
We won't, no.
But, you know, so you got all these filters, and social media-wise, I probably prefer IG and Snap the most. I like Snap just because it's like a quick way to just check in with friends.
Yeah.
You can see this and that, but it's not, you know, everything's on like a, you know, 5 to 10 second window for the most part.
Right.
If you send something, it will at least let you know if somebody screenshot it or not. So it at least
is that how, like, say something came about during, like, the MTA in New York, it's just about Snapchat specifically
Snapchat. But then like the good thing with IG is, you know, a lot of times if you have people that are like artistic, you know, they tend to, you know, take like real nice photos, you know, whatnot and post that. So
I'm a fan of that.
You don't get that all that. The problem with Facebook now is you get a lot of people that want to post a lot of drama, and there's no character limit on Facebook. So you get just the full dramatic story. So it's drama, it's food porn, it's look at my baby, look at my baby, look at my baby.
You think people are having babies for clout now?
You got to get online clout somehow, apparently. Like, I mean, I don't really care about online clout. It's like if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, off the internet, then, you know, I'm going to enjoy myself on and off the internet.
There you
know,
go.
Somebody else might
online and offline. Yeah.
It's like I'm not, my clout isn't contingent upon being online, so I'm not worried about that.
But what's wild as well, as we're talking about this, in that Fire Festival documentary at the end, I'm sure you saw this, there's literally a company, I think it's in Russia, where it's a stationary jet.
Yep.
Right, you saw this?
Yeah.
It's a stationary private jet, for you guys who are listening, and you and a team of you or a bachelorette party or whatever can go on the jet and essentially pretend like you're on the jet. I don't know anything sadder than that. Like,
you can take photos. I think it's a 3-hour photo shoot where you can just do anything in the jet. It's on the runway, not moving, right? And just do everything you want in the jet, and you're paying them thousands and thousands of dollars. Basically, when I heard about this, I thought about it, And we're actually going to start doing that ourselves. It's going to be the Dark Sunsets flight crew.
That's it. How dope would it be like if we printed a whole private jet, though? It'd literally be like based on JG's creation. It'd be like purple and black. And
it just
would look like a Rick James video.
If there's work to be had, you know.
That's it.
I'm there, you know. So it's just like just that in and of itself, just this internet clout, that's kind of what drives this whole thing, whatever.
But these chicks that are like, as we're talking about it, right, that are putting these filters on and everything, and I think people are doing this now is like they're getting surgeries to represent or look like what they look like in those type filters. Which is wild.
So my biggest peeve, I like the creativity of the filters, but my biggest peeve with these filters is there's a couple of them where it'll kind of like lighten up the room. It'll make them almost like a fairy, or it'll adjust it so that, let's say, you know, if somebody has like a thicker face, it shrinks it in a bit, and it
almost gives them like bone structure or something.
It might take off like 7 to 10 pounds. It's like a smooth filter, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with having some pounds here and some pounds there, but it's almost, I call it like the catfish filter, because if you're looking at somebody, they do this filter, they send you this photo, you're expecting to see X, Y, and Z, and then all of a sudden, where did this young lady go? I have yet to meet this person, but it's nice to meet you.
Exactly.
You seem like you're a nice person, but
yeah,
this is a complete, as they said in Fire, in the Fire Festival, it's like, this is fraud.
It really is.
Or
false advertising. Which is funny, too, because like false advertising, the abbreviation will be FARUL, so you could literally have like a blended name for him. But it's probably going to get to the point, like for me, sometimes I'll walk into like I'm getting my haircut, and I'll show a photo of what type of haircut that I've either normally had, or maybe a photo of how I want my hair to look. Some people are probably going to do that at like a plastic surgery. They're going to be like, here's bunny ears with me with a dog tongue, and then they're going to come out looking like a fucking Weimaraner.
Well, there's that new, I don't know, there's a new movie coming out within the next like month or two called Alita Battle Angel.
What's that? No.
I haven't heard of it. So one of the main, like the main bad guy, he's the brother from Luke Cage. He was like,
okay.
He was like one of the original, like he's like the first main bad guy in Luke Cage season one. But he was also in, another movie that won Oscars. I wish I had the title of it right now.
No worries.
Moonlight, maybe?
Yeah.
I think it's called Moonlight. But he's like the main protagonist in this movie. And Alita the Battle Angel, I think she's like kind of like half robot, half girl. We don't know what parts is robot. We don't know what parts is girl. We're not going to get into that. But it's like this look where, you know, she looks like a regular girl, except she has the big kind of anime eyes.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot of girls that are trying to go for this kind of, like, there's some girls that do this elfin kind of look where they change themselves for the elfin look.
Yeah.
With the ears.
Right.
And there's some girls that are now doing this kind of like anime big eyed look and whatnot. And it's like, I understand trying to change, you know, for the positive, where it's like, oh, I want to work out. I want to, you know, eat more fit. I want to do this. I'm trying to get more backside. I'm trying to do more, you know, whatever. But
right,
it's like there's a certain point where you can't make yourself a Barbie doll. You can't make yourself, you know, an anime character. Like you have to have kind of parameters in what you're trying to do, because you still need to stay yourself when you're representing. But
this is leading a different path.
You're still not being yourself. And plus, you know, half these dudes that are going out there, they're not trying to get catfished. I mean, the other half, I don't know what they're up to, but those other half, watch out for them. You know? If they're trying to get catfished, watch out. Just check,
and
please.
Well, so we're coming up to about 55 minutes here, and we'll close out on one of the other topics. I'll let you dealer's choice this with this. I know you can't read my handwriting, or this. I'll let you kick it off, whichever you want to do.
I'm not even going to try to read the handwriting. But there was one thing that caught my mind or caught my eye that I just thought was just extremely ridiculous. So I believe she was South African.
But okay.
There was a woman that claimed that she had changed her race using melanin injections. And so she used melanin injections in her skin, which actually did darken her skin color, where she, I mean, if I could put it on a scale, I'd probably say maybe like a mocha, you know, like a dark, if you had like a hot cocoa that was like dark chocolate, it would be like kind of like a, like that. And
does it show before and after pics? Like
they did not give her a before and after. They just gave her an after. And
like was she as white as either my sweatshirt or my hat? Because I'm one shade of white, being closer than a cruise DJ.
I feel like she was comfortably Caucasian. I mean, looking at her hair now, though, she got that natural sister curl. But you know, that, I mean, we don't even know. She could have.
What's her name? Does it say?
All right, so her name was Martina Big.
Okay.
She's a white model from Germany.
Yep.
And, you know, she now identifies, as they say, she now identifies as a black woman because she did 2 years worth of melanin injections.
Jesus.
So how she looks, she actually does look, you know, African American. And I believe she's on a British talk show.
Great.
And when she's on this British talk show, she said multiple things, a lot of things, but she had said that, you know, when she spoke to doctors and they talked to her about, you know, if her and her husband conceived any children. By the way, her husband, Michael, also had tanning injections, but his didn't quite kick in as deeply. Like, he looks like he just had, like, a real rich tan. She looks like she's black. They asked about if, you know, what would happen with the kids. The doctors apparently told her that the kids would be black.
Really?
She said that she's not having any plans on having any kids, but, you know, she'd be able to breastfeed and da 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 da, and the babies would come out black. A side note that they happened to just toss in this whole article was that, you know, Martina, you know, she's well endowed, apparently has.
She has a dick?
What's the largest breasts in Europe. They said her breast size.
Jay. Does it say size?
It says size.
Like, but alpha, how high in the alphabet?
High.
More than like an R?
Slightly.
No way. What does that even mean?
She has 32 S.
Oh, I can't count it out, but that's got to be at least.
That's at least 3 to 4 deaths by suffocation. At least I just don't know how I don't know how you get to 30.
Like, do you remember back in the day with the man show where it'd be like the lady who would be able to crush a beer can with her tits?
Yes, yes.
She'd be able to crush like a 40 ounce PT Cruiser. An S.
So she's 32 S. So like the host was sitting there, and the host, Holly Willoughby, something
she
like that.
She sounds so British.
And it was like she said that. She's like, I'm trying to think genetically how it's possible. Like, and she's like, she asked
how big her tits are, how that she's black.
That she's black and ready to have a baby, or if she had a baby, how it would come out. And she said, she asked her, you know, if you gave birth to a white child, would you somehow think it's not connected to you? And then the Martina lady came right back and she's like, no, it's a mix of Michael and me. I'm pretty sure it would be black or milk chocolate or a little bit light. It doesn't matter. And that was her phrase in regard to this. Like, I've never actually seen somebody use, you know, injections like this in order to turn themselves like dark.
Well, don't you remember Sammy Sosa for a while? I'm sure you remember this, but he reversed that, right? So he went from like being dark to being light.
Yes.
And he looked like a fucking just horror show.
He creeps me out, actually. Right? Yeah. I mean, I remember the simple days where he used to just hit home runs, do a little Sammy Sosa hop, and then just run around the bases.
Yeah.
You know.
Now he looks like Pillsbury Doughboy.
Give him steroids, he'll be back. He'll want to be dark again. But, yeah, just that whole story was kind of crazy. She identified as black, and she really went all the way through. So
that's insane. Like, I mean, I grew up – sure, I wore FUBU growing up, but I would never get to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to switch it up entirely and just change. Like, but now it's a modern age where there's availability to be able to do that. But she's injecting herself with it.
And just like the last little tidbit, you know, because you always have to just follow it up with how Twitter feels. And so a Twitter user was like,
yeah, here's some reactions.
In quotations, Martina Big really annoys me. She wants to be a, in quotations, black woman. She never will be. Regardless of her skin color, it's just blackface. And that's a twit. That's somebody on Twitter. Obviously, people on Twitter are a little bit bolder than.
Of course.
That's the only problem with social media, because it's like, hey, if you want to say something to somebody,
they're a keyboard enthusiast. Yeah, they're a keyboard keyboard enthusiast, right?
Because it's like, if somebody's right in front of you, you know, you can tighten them up real quick, and then that, that stops a lot of comments.
She just crushes all the haters with her left tit.
With 32S. And then the last Twitter one, though.
Sounds like a Buick.
Martina Big infuriates me. As a white woman, she's had more privilege in her years as a white woman than any black woman will ever get in their lifetime. Now, one, that statement actually makes me want to find out what Twitter user said that, just because I want to go off on them. Because, you know, don't ever, like, sit there and be like, you know, talking about black women privilege and whatnot. Like, there's some strong, independent black women, not talking about Beyonce. But just
don't get the audience started.
This whole yes, the Martina Big thing. She might have used melanin. She might have made herself black. She might have, as she said, a milk chocolate baby. It might not.
And her last name's Big.
Her last name's Big.
I mean, and her tit size is 32S. This is just literally racks. The jokes write themselves.
Racks. I mean, I just, when I saw that story, it's just crazy. I mean, and the funny thing was, when they were on the show, when Martina Big and her husband were on the show, they're both wearing what appears to be like a dashiki type
situation. Oh my God. So just to what JR is showing me here, literally the girl, she has ginormous breasts. So they're both sitting on a couch. The guy's definitely wearing a dashiki. I wonder if he has pants on. You can't see what he's wearing. But with her, she absolutely, if I like squint my eyes, she looks like she just has blackface on.
He's probably, the husband's probably just shirt cocking it, or Winnie the Pooh in it, as they would call it. You know, yeah. He's probably just got the dashiki on up top, and just Johnson hanging. But
do you think if they, I mean, they probably obviously are going through an interview on a UK TV channel. They're based in South Africa. If they were to come to America, they would just get all the heat.
It could be, you know, the next iteration of the Coming to America's movies.
This is the sequel.
Except
it's just called 32S.
I feel like there'd be people with tomatoes just waiting to just sling heat, just sling straight fire, you know, 92 mile per hour fastballs, but just
bringing in the heat completely.
Just straight heirloom tomatoes coming to crush it.
So we appreciate y'all listening. This is the Jump Off, episode 1, Dark Sunsets. We'll be back soon. We love y'all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And go check out that that Netflix doc, and, you know, the Fyre Festival. It'll definitely open your eyes to some crazy fraud.
Fyre rule. Peace.